the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower, and this week we're going to talk about everyone's favorite subject, taxes.
Can't wait.
Now, I'm sure you're dealing with 1099s, W-2s. You're probably getting ready to file your annual tax return. So today's show is going to focus on taxes and also how you can reduce one of your biggest expenses, not just for now, but for the rest of your retirement years. So, Jim, where on earth do we begin with this topic?
Well, this is a good place to begin, Chris. So we begin with the tax return. And if you've been either filing your own tax returns, maybe use TurboTax, you're going to see a few changes on the tax form. And a lot of it has to do with the tax bill that went into effect because they removed itemized deductions. So it's not quite simpler, but there's been a few changes. But the first thing that you want to do, and I want to bring this up, is you want to look at your tax return. And you don't have to go into depth, but you do want to go into the first and second page. And on the second page, there's a line item that's called line item 43. And it's on the back of the front page of your tax form. Now, why that's important, this is the line item that says taxable income. That line item is important because it tells you what your marginal tax bracket is. This tells you, in essence, at what rate the next dollar of income you earn is going to be taxed at. And this will become very important to many of you who, let's say, are allowing your IRAs to grow tax deferred, because at age 70 and a half, you're going to have to start taking mandatory distributions from your IRA. So once you know what your marginal tax bracket is from that line item, that's going to tell you every dollar you take out of your IRA at what rate it's going to be taxed at the federal level. And of course, you need to do the same thing if you live in a state like we do in California, where you have high taxes. So it's important when you start to examine and look at your tax return, look at the sources of your taxable income. Where are they coming from? Because the idea is you're going to want to reduce your taxable income. Now, we have 7 different tax brackets. They never got them down to 3 like they said they were going to do. And those tax brackets run all the way from 10% all the way up to 37%. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm probably going to read some that many of you are going to find yourself in. If you are under $40,000, $38,700, and you're single, you're in a 12% tax bracket. From $38,700 to $82,500, you're in a 22% tax bracket. And from $82,500 to $157,500, you're in a 24% bracket. Above $157,000, you move up to 32%. Now, let's look at this for a married couple. A married couple is in a 12% tax bracket if you earn or have taxable income of $77,400. And you can go up. The next tax bracket is $22,000 or 22%. And that's for income over $77,000 all the way up to $165,000. And from $165,000 to $315,000, you're in a 24% bracket. Now, the brackets jump after 24%. They go from 24% to 32% to 35% to 37%. So the big break when you hit that higher income bracket for a married couple is at $315,000. You are now in a 32% bracket. So you're talking about almost an 8 percentage point increase when you get into those higher levels. Now, if you're fortunate enough, maybe you're Mark and Megan Mega Bucks or Larry Lots of Bucks and Lisa Lots of Bucks, most of you are going to find yourself in between a 10 and 24% bracket. It's if you have that extra income, you're going to jump into that 32% bracket. And that's the thing that you want to avoid. Because, boy, 8 percentage point increase in taxes is really a lot of money.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of money, Jim, but when we go over tax brackets, I think for a lot of folks, it's just easy to get lost in the numbers. Once you know what your actual tax bracket is, to keep from getting overwhelmed, what's the next step? What do you do after that?
You know, the next thing you want to look at the front page of your tax return, and really what you want to do is look at where is your taxable income coming from? If you're working part-time, it could be wages from employment. It's going to be dividends, interest. There's a special section, even though you don't pay taxes on it, you do report your tax-free income because it's used for various calculations. Business income, things like capital gains, pensions, annuities, and the taxable portion of your Social Security. What you are looking for is what can I do to modify what I have that is taxable? You can't change a taxable pension. If you have employment income, you still have to report it, although you can reduce it with pension contributions, things like IRAs or 401ks. And there is one way to reduce the taxable portion of Social Security, but you're going to have to give up, like receiving income, for example, tax deferral. And then the other thing you want to look at is mandatory distributions from your IRAs. And if you're not taking one, you need to take a look and talk to your advisor. And let's say you're age 65, 67, and you're looking at 3 years later where you turn 70, 70 and a half, you're going to have to start taking mandatory distributions. You need to know what that mandatory distribution is, number one. And number two, what's your marginal tax bracket? And will that marginal tax bracket put you into, let's say, a higher bracket? For example, there's big jumps in the bracket. If you're a married couple, you can earn $77,400 and stay in a 12% bracket. But if you go over $77,400, your tax bracket jumps by 12 full percentage points to 22% versus 12. So you could be in a 12% bracket and all of a sudden you turn age 70 and a half and you jump to a 24% bracket as a result of distributions from your IRAs. So that's why it's really important that you do some tax planning and look at this, because a lot of people get trapped into these higher tax brackets. And the way the tax brackets work right now, you can stay in that lower bracket, but boy, I tell you, you go over that bracket, you know, if you're single, you go over 30, let's round it off, 39,000, you jump from 12 to 22. And if you're married, if you jump over 77,000, you go from 12 to 22. So Chris, that is almost double the tax rate. And that's why tax planning and looking at what you can do to modify your taxable income can save you literally a ton of money.
Well, and this is really my favorite part of the discussion, Jim, because this is where we get into the practical side. So let's get into some of the tax planning strategies and talk about what our listeners can do to lower this year's taxes. And the great thing about this topic and strategy is that it's still early on in the year. So let's roll up our sleeves and how can folks take advantage of lowering their taxes even now?
Well, to begin with, tax filing is getting easier for many retirees. The tax bill that went into effect for 2018 removed many of the things that you were used to, let's say, putting on your tax return. Itemized deductions that used to be available, for example, they reduced the property tax deduction to $10,000. That's a big deal here in California. They also eliminated the deductibility of state taxes. So if you live in places like New Jersey, New York, Illinois, California, that's going to be a big deal. They also eliminated miscellaneous deductions, and they also reduced the deductibility of mortgage deductions on new home purchases. You used to be able to have $1 million mortgage and $100,000 second. They've now reduced that to $750,000. Now, let me clarify that. If you have $1 million mortgage and you've had it before this tax bill went into effect, you're grandfathered. So don't worry about that. This applies more to new home purchases. So for most retirees, tax planning has been made simpler. What is left is a limited property tax deduction of $10,000, limited mortgage deduction, and limited medical, and of course, you have charitable deductions. Now, for most retirees, they're going to be better off taking the standard deduction, which is $24,000 for a married couple and $12,000 for a single individual. So when I was reading those tax rates, so for, let's say you're single, and I mentioned, let's just make the math easy here, and I told you you were in a 12% bracket to around $38,000, you can add another $12,000 to that for the standard deduction. And that would keep you, that would be $50,000 that you can earn and still stay in the 12% tax bracket. And if you are married and $77,000, add $24,000 to that, it's roughly about $102,000 that you could still stay in the 12% bracket. So for Chris, many individuals that are retired, if you add the standard deduction to that, they're going to be much, much better off. And most likely, they can stay in that 12% tax bracket.
Well, you know, I read recently in the Wall Street Journal that tax refunds are down 17% this year as a result of the new tax bill. That's not a small percentage. So for some of our listeners, they probably saw their taxes go up last year as a result of the loss of many of the itemized deductions they were used to taking advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. Many individuals and retirees that live in the high tax states, you know, our own state of California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, have in some cases, depending on your itemized deductions, you may end up seeing your taxes go up as a result of losing many of those deductions that reduced your federal taxes.
So what do you think, Jim, that at this time, what can retirees do now to lower their taxes?
You know, the first thing you should look at is if most of your assets are in an IRA where mandatory distributions are going to be required at age 70 and a half, it may make a lot of sense when you retire and are in a lower tax bracket to convert some of your IRA to something called a Roth IRA, where if it's left there for 5 years, it will end up becoming tax-free and not subject to mandatory distributions. This is a tool that creates another source of tax-free income in additional tax-free bonds. Which brings me to another source of tax-free income that most retirees don't take advantage of or may not be made aware of, and that's the tax-free status of dividends from common stocks or stock funds that are tax-free up to a certain limit. Now, let me go over these rates again. If you are single, you can earn up to $38,600 in dividends or capital gains and pay zero capital gains taxes or dividend taxes. And from $38,601 to $425,800, you only pay a 15% tax rate. So here's what you have to start thinking of. Start thinking of keeping yourself in a 12% and a 15% tax bracket. This is a crucial method of planning and an opportunity for many of you that are retired. Now, for a married couple, the figure goes to $77,200 for zero taxes on dividends and capital gains. At $77,201 all the way up to $479,000, you would only pay 15%. So, Chris, with proper tax planning, most retirees, unless you're Mark and Megan Megabucks, will probably, with effective tax planning, be able to keep their tax bracket between 12 and 15%. Now, you contrast that to individuals that are working today that could be into 24, 32, 35, or 37% tax brackets. So if you think about tax-free dividends and, let's say, tax-free income from a Roth IRA, you combine that with a certain level of dividends, you can produce a high level of tax-free income for most retirees and should be something you should be discussing or looking at with your advisor. It is probably, as you take a look as somebody that's getting ready to retire, one of the most effective tax planning things that you can do. I have a case we worked on last year where the client had recently retired at the end of 2017, and we took close to $250,000 out of their IRA rollover, and we did a Roth conversion. So at age 70 and a half, the income out of the Roth is going to be tax-free. The next thing we did is we had them start taking out income from their IRA now to keep the level of IRA down. And number two, it allows them to defer taking their Social Security until age 70, which would result in an additional $16,500 of income, which would almost be equivalent to having almost $500,000 of additional capital. So there's a number of things you can do, but Roth conversions, dividend income are going to be your two most powerful tools that you can use to keep yourself, like I said, you're going to want to keep yourself in a 12 to 15% tax bracket.
Well, Jim, a question that often comes up Is it best to wait until you're retired to do your Roth conversion when you're actually in a lower tax bracket?
You know, for most individuals, it probably is going to turn out to be that way unless you fall within the limits where you can make what is called a contributory Roth IRA. Because what happens, and this is why I go back to line item 43 on your tax return, that's your marginal tax bracket. So if you were considering working and converting part of an IRA or a pension plan to a Roth IRA, that Roth IRA is going to be taxed at that marginal tax rate, if not more. And remember how those tax brackets jump from 12 to 24 and from 24 to 32. They jump up very, very quickly. So in most cases, because if you're working, your income, converting to a Roth IRA is going to be much easier when you're retired. The only other kind of Roth IRA is what we call a contributory Roth IRA. It's similar to a Roth or a regular IRA, except for you don't get a deduction. However, we got tax rules that you have to earn under a certain level of income. It's $135,000 if you're single, $199,000 if you're married. They start phasing out the contributions at $120,000 if you're single and $189,000 if you're married. So if you fall within those limits, you should be definitely setting up a Roth IRA so you have a source of tax-free income. The next thing you should look at is exploring tax-free dividends. Most investors, after the Great Recession, went into bond funds, which are taxable at higher tax rates. You don't get the favorable taxability on interest income that you do on dividends. The reason is dividends are taxed twice. They're taxed once at the corporate level on corporate profits. They're taxed again when they're distributed to you in the form of a dividend. The other aspect, and we've covered this on the weekend shows, is many of these bond funds that you, or bond ETFs you're sitting on, are sitting on low-rated, low-quality bonds, many of which are illiquid, in addition to being high-risk and taxable.
So what about other ways, though, Jim, where folks can reduce taxable income from state taxes to salaried income?
Well, I mean, if you're working part-time or full-time and you're working for a company or maybe for yourself, you want to maximize contributions to a pension plan, things like 401k plans. If you're self-employed, you can do things like SEP IRAs, where you can put up to $54,000 away. Now, if you're contributing to a 401k plan for 2019, the limit is $19,000. If you're age 50 and over, you can add another $6,000 to that. So this year, you can put up to $25,000 a year into a 401k. Now, as far as state taxes, there's really not much you can do other than, let's say, pension contributions, setting up Roths, and a few remaining itemized deductions. For most retirees, quite honestly, the best strategy is to move out of a high-tax state and a high-cost-of-living state to, let's say, a low-tax or no-tax state, and also a state where the cost of living is cheaper. That way, you don't have to worry about the property tax limitation or non-deductibility of state taxes. I would say, Chris, almost a third, and that's probably going to go up even more as a result of the tax law, but almost one-third of our clients in California are choosing to move to another state to enjoy lower cost of living. Recently, I had a client who lives in North Carolina who turned down a job with a well-known tech company in Silicon Valley because, I mean, even though the salary increase was higher, he was looking at homes. I mean, $2 million buys you nothing in Northern California, and not to mention the high taxes and the cost of living. And it's one reason why you're seeing a lot of high-tech companies like Tesla, which built a battery factory in Sparks, Nevada. Google and Apple are building headquarters factories, relocating and expanding to low-tax or no-tax states because, number one, it's helping with the recruiting efforts. As my client in North Carolina, you know, it'd be great to work for a high-tech company, but when he took a look at the cost of living and what he would pay in taxes, he would actually experience a lower standard of living by moving to California. And so that's, you know, high-tax states have not gotten the message. In fact, I think it's New York is thinking of imposing a special surtax if you own a second home in the state of New York. So they still haven't got the message. They're complaining about losing taxpayers, but it's, you know, they're not doing anything to make the state more taxpayer friendly. So it's just not retirees who are moving to no tax, low cost or low tax states, but many companies are doing that as well. In fact, There was an article in the Wall Street Journal that got quite a lot of press on Tuesday this week. It's about our own state of California. It featured three former Californians who left the state and moved to Nevada. They live here in San Diego, where Chris and I live. One left because of water costs. Water costs are just skyrocketing in California, and they're just not doing what it takes. I mean, we have the longest coastline in the country. We could solve the water shortage and water problems with desalination plants like they do in the Middle East. But one left because of skyrocketing water costs. Another left because of a three-hour daily commute back and forth to work. And the other left because of taxes and high real estate prices. California, according to the Wall Street Journal, is losing over 100,000 taxpayers a year. Between the years 2006 and 2017, California lost 1.25 million taxpayers, the third highest behind New York and Illinois. Our state has the highest utility bills. We have the highest income tax rates of any state in the country. And housing prices, according to the Wall Street Journal, were up 83% between the years 2012 and 2018. And that was one of the reasons that discouraged my client in North Carolina from moving to California. He took a look at what would it cost him to afford an equivalent house that he enjoys in North Carolina. In California, it'd be several million dollars, and not to mention what the tax rates would be.
And you know, you hear so much about people leaving the state. Where do you suppose all these people are going?
Well, in California, according to the Wall Street Journal, most are going to Nevada. The city of Henderson, which is just outside of Las Vegas, has now become the second largest city in Nevada, having recently surpassed Reno. The city has grown to a population of 300,000. Between 2013 and 2017, 56% of the new residents of Henderson came from California. We did a show on this, I think, last year early on. We called it the Great Exodus. The next migration wave in the U.S. is going to be from the East and West Coast residents moving inland to places like, if you're in California, probably Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Idaho, Colorado. If you're on the East Coast, North Carolina, parts of the South, and Florida. So they're moving for a couple things. Number one, get out of high taxes. Number two, a lower cost of living. And if you have a certain amount of income where it's going to be less when you retire, well, you want to make your dollars go further. Why not eliminate your tax bill and lower your cost of living where you can live in a house that is so much cheaper?
So moving to no-tax or low-tax states, that's an effective tax planning move to not only lower taxes, but help reduce the cost of living. But what are other ways that retirees can take advantage of to help reduce taxes?
Well, there's other tax-sheltered investments such as master limited partnerships, which have a portion of their dividends. They're partially tax-sheltered. And there are tax-sheltered investments such as real estate. But I have found MLPs are now moving to become C-Corps. Real estate is attractive, but I have found many retirees just don't want to hassle with being a landlord. I have a client now in Washington State who made his money as a realtor and an investor in real estate. He has been slowly liquidating his holdings as he gets closer to retirement because he said, Jim, I don't want to be dealing with this. You know, if I'm traveling and I'm in Europe or I'm in my motorhome going across the country, I don't want to get calls. I need to fix the plumber, roof patch, or something's leaking. He still likes real estate, but we're talking about probably in the next downturn, we would probably more likely invest in real estate investment trusts, which take no management efforts on his part. They're liquid. They pay good dividends that increase each year. He goes, you know what? You know, I've done this for more than 30 years now. This is not what I want to do in retirement, is be on the road. He's got an RV. He's into an RV club. And so he doesn't want to be, you know, someplace in Montana or Florida for the winter and, having to deal with rental properties.
So it sounds like the new tax law did eliminate many of the kinds of deductions that we enjoy, things that are available to most working individuals. But Jim, what other things should we be discussing on this topic?
You know, we're not going to cover it today because this is a topic for a complete show in itself. Is negotiating with your employer the type of stock options you get from your company so they are more tax favorable to you? And we'll cover that with our in-house tax expert. But probably the best thing you can do, and, you know, that's what this show is really about, is have a plan put it in place before you retire that maximizes things like pension contributions, Roth contributions, and if you qualify, and possible, let's say, downsizing your home and considering a possible move when you retire. And if you are considering a possible move, what I'd really recommend is, you know, let's say you live here in California, you know, go take a trip like I've done several times to Reno. I'm going in a month to Las Vegas. You know, I've gone to Scottsdale, Arizona. So go visit the places that you're thinking of. You know, I'm working right now with a single doctor. She's now divorced. She lives in New Jersey. She plans to retire in Florida in the next 5 years, that is. And I don't know what, I guess a lot of people on the East Coast where they're used to humidity love going down to Florida as the number one destination. Now, recently, as part of the plan, she bought a condo on the water that she's turned into a rental property to pay for it. It's got a slight positive cash flow that is sheltered from taxes. But the plan is, when she plans on retiring in the next 5 years, she'll sell her place in New Jersey. She'll pay off the mortgage on the condo in Florida. We've also set up a Roth IRA and did a partial Roth conversion when she went through her divorce. So when she retires, she'll be living, number one, in a tax-free state. Her home will be free and clear. And she'll have a tax-free Roth IRA. And the plan is to gradually build up her stock portfolio, so she'll also enjoy tax-free dividends when she retires. The plan is also to delay her Social Security benefits until age 70 because they'll grow by 32%. She's in the maximum tax bracket, and so what she'll do is she will have not only tax-free Roth but tax-free dividends. And it's going to be real important delaying her Social Security because in her side of the family, you know, longevity runs. Her mother lived well into her 90s before she passed away.
Well, Jim, as I hear you talk about that client, it's obvious that there were a number of things that you were able to do to put her on the right track. And I'm sure there are listeners hearing this and thinking, gosh, I wonder if I'm on the right track or what can I do to make sure that when the time is right that I've taken care of some of these things. I just want to remind our listeners that they can call our office at 858-487-3939 and speak with someone directly, or they can even go to financialsense.com and just click the link that says contact us. But once again, that number is 858-487-3939. So, Jim, if I were to sum up in terms of this issue of what can be done to lower taxes, the first thing is to have a plan and, of course, start early planning for retirement. And then number two, start using pensions such as a 401k, make those contributions, the Roth IRA contributions if you qualify. And then three, consider converting part of your IRA to a Roth IRA when you retire and are in a lower tax bracket. Number four, look at setting up a dividend stock portfolio to take advantage of the tax-free status of dividends at lower brackets. And finally, number five, consider relocating to a no-tax, low-tax state where there are not only no taxes, but typically a lower cost of living.
And once again, it's possible for many of you listening to the program, the real key thing that you want to focus on is keep your income in a 12 to 15% tax bracket. I mean, think about it. If you're married, you can make over $100,000, about $103,000, and you can keep yourself almost in a 0% tax bracket. And if you make up to, let's say, $165,000, you can keep yourself in a low tax bracket. You know, think of 12 and 15% on, let's say, $165,000. That certainly beats that 22% bracket, because remember, there are two key brackets you want to keep yourself out of. The bracket when you go from a 12% bracket at $165,000 to a 24% tax bracket, because your tax bracket is going to double. And the same thing if you're single, avoiding going from a, let's say, 12% tax bracket to a 22% tax bracket. So once again, your goal should be no more than paying 12 to 15%, and that should be your goal. And believe it or not, it's easy to do. We'll be talking about this with my upcoming guest tomorrow on optional retirement plans and retiring early. But here's the important thing I want to leave you with. The most important thing you can do is have a plan. The earlier you begin, the better off you're going to be when you retire.
And Jim, I'm glad you said that, because you'd made reference to our guest tomorrow, Tanya Hester. When you talk about the important thing is to have a plan, I can't think of a better guest for tomorrow. Tanya Hester, she retired early at the age of 38, and she wrote the book Work Optional, Retire Early, The Non-Penny-Pinching Way. She's also, by the way, the creator of the Our Next Life early retirement blog, and she co-hosts the Fairer Sense podcast, and she's also a Market Watch contributor. So she's definitely got the resume, and for anyone that can retire at the age of 38, she's definitely going to be a contributor and guest that you're going to want to listen to tomorrow.
All right. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here. And just once again, one more time, really start to take a look at some tax planning, because it is possible to keep yourself in a 12 to 15% tax bracket. That certainly beats 32, 35, and 37%. In the meantime, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.